garlic breath. Ugh. Ugh. I know, but I feel like it's just like it's there.
Where's Michael with his mints?
Chalking things up. And you know, I've got gum, but all right. From Midtown Studios at Allied Headquarters, this is the Allied Angle, where we take an in-depth look at current market trends with industry experts. I'm your host, Amber Guthrie with Allied Solutions. Today, we're looking back at 2023 and the year in the financial industry, one that started with a looming liquidity crisis, but was filled with optimism about new tech and more. Join us as we share the highlights of those topics with our favorite guests from throughout the year. Coming up next on the Allied Angle. Welcome to a year in review of the Allied Angle, your auditory complement to Allied Solutions' monthly e-newsletter, Allied Insights. Today, we're looking back at the top moments from our inaugural season. To kick things off, let's take it back to where it all began with our first guest, Allied's Executive Vice President and Chief Growth Officer, Mark Bogalski. And stay tuned after the show for some never-before-heard bloopers and outtakes. Today, we are recapping the top stories from 2022 with Allied Solutions Senior Vice President and Chief Growth Officer, Mark Bogalski, as well as hearing Mark's vision for 2023. Mark, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks, Amber. I'm happy to be here, happy to be part of the first Allied Angle.
So
that is exciting.
So, Mark, we saw a lot happen in all aspects of the industry in 2022. Obviously, the economy has faced a lot of big challenges throughout the last year. But as 2022 started to come to an end, we started to hear a lot more about revenue generation and portfolio growth in the midst of a quote-unquote liquidity crisis. So can you explain to our listeners a little bit about what this crisis is and how financial institutions should be prepared?
Sure. When there's a liquidity crisis, that means that a financial institution doesn't have access to cash. And that could be the result of a number of different things. For example, they may have longer term or longer duration investment commitments, or they may be seeing slower prepayment and payoff speeds on their loans. And that is typically seen in a rising interest rate environment like we have today. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of what seems to be happening. And I guess the other thing would be just having enough deposits to fund the loans that they want to make. So the combination of those three things probably all impact liquidity to some level. And the challenge with all of that is the way that financial institutions add value for their borrowers is to make loans. Mm-hmm. And when you're not able to do all those things, it creates a liquidity problem.
So what are some of the ways that financial institutions can be proactive with their portfolios?
There's good news and bad news with that. The bad news is whenever we're in a liquidity situation, it's recoverable, but it's going to take time to recover. And proactively planning against that is also something that probably takes some time to have happen as well. So if you look at strategies, that's the good news. There are different ways and strategies to help recover and proactively guard against having a liquidity problem that can include things like increasing savings rates to attract more deposits, mm-hmm. or looking at selling loan participations, as an example, or looking at accessing non-member deposits or getting loans through the Federal Home Loan Bank. So I think it's always important, but I think in situations like this, it's more important than ever to really make sure and be conscious of non-interest income opportunities and the different services that can generate non-interest income to replace some of that lost revenue.
So really requiring institutions to think outside the box when it comes to their portfolios.
Absolutely.
So the topic of digital transformation also seemed to turn a lot of heads for this past year. What are your overall thoughts on how digital an institution should get, and does it really matter?
I think it absolutely matters, especially today. Being digital is being relevant. Mm-hmm. And I think it probably depends on the financial institution. So based on their culture philosophy, the degree of digital optimization is probably going to vary. But it does a couple things. It creates consumer convenience, mm-hmm. and we're all about wanting to make sure that we're serving our consumers in the way they want to be served. So that's critically important. And I think the other thing with digital is it creates a different level of operational efficiency that really can't be gained in other areas. So just those two things alone really make a case for having some level of digital strategy.
So not all of our stories from last year were as hard-hitting as trying to stabilize portfolios during a crisis. It looks like a lot of our readers were really interested in the creative side of the industry as well. So last year, as you know, Allied Solutions launched a partnership with the enterprise video editing platform Sunday Sky. Can you tell us why is video such a big deal?
You know, I would say it's not just a big deal. I'd say it's a huge deal because it's transformative. It changes the way that we are interacting and engaging and feeding information back to consumers, back to employees. So with Sunday Sky, for example, we're putting the power of video right in the hands of the financial institution and giving them another super effective medium to not only engage their members and customers, but also engage their employees. And there's so many different applications that are available to really make that powerful. So knowing that, you think about what can you do with it? There are just a number of applications from onboarding new employees to creating impactful testimonials, through creating consumer education videos, to attracting new talent, for example. So outside of the marketing aspect of using video, I mean, the possibilities are really endless. Do it all at your discretion and disposal, and doing it in a real professional way, I think, is one of the main advantages that we have with Sunday Sky.
Well, it must be really exciting for them to do what they want, when they want, as opposed to working with an agency and being third in line. So before we wrap things up here, Mark, can you tell us a little bit, just kind of your insights of what we should expect out of 2023?
Sure. You know, the last couple of years have been actually pretty good. I think everybody in our industry has really seen some remarkable results. And as we go into 2023, the lending and collections risk is going to look different. New loan originations probably are going to be much lower this year than they have been over the last couple of years. And the increased default risk will start to become more prevalent as well. So you look at repossessions, you look at foreclosures and how that affects the operating environment, and then looking at how to prepare for that, looking at asset recovery, disposition, and building a variety of different strategies. I think a lot of the tools and the pieces that needed to be in place are there to make sure that we can, you know, manage through lower loan demand and increased default risk. And I think the other thing that I mentioned earlier on the podcast is making sure that we have a good strategy in place to help grow non-interest income, because I think that'll be a neutralizer as we go into 2023.
That is great insights. Thank you so much for being on our very first podcast. It was such a pleasure having you. We appreciate you taking the time out of your super busy schedule and joining us for our very first podcast.
This is fun. Thanks for having me.
On today's episode, I'm talking with Allied Solutions Senior Vice President, Client Experience and Risk Management Services, Ann Holtzman, to talk about the ups and downs of CPI. But I want to ask, why CPI? Why is this such an important topic?
So collateral protection insurance and lender-placed insurance are critical for providing protection to financial institutions that allow them to lend deeper to the consumers that they serve, and also ensure that the asset, such as a home or an automobile, is properly insured not only for the lending institution and for their loan balances, but there's also dual interest to borrowers who may not be able to afford voluntary insurance, or they can't get voluntary insurance for whatever reason, and it provides that needed protection that protects the collateral against risk and loss.
Various factors impacted CPI in 2022, such as claim volume and frequency. What have been some additional factors that have contributed, and what are you seeing so far in 2023?
2023, I think, is going to be a pivotal year for CPI and also for some of our other lender-based products, such as real estate force-placed insurance, because we're seeing an increase in the auto default rates. We've seen the highest auto default rates now up to almost 0.94%, which is higher than pre-pandemic delinquency levels. There's been a 36% increase in bankruptcies year over year. And we're seeing a decline in automobile car values. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, what occurs when there are these decreases in our economic performance and with inflation, we see additional penetration or more policies written on our collateral protection insurance mm-hmm. program. So it isn't all doom and gloom about losses because we're also seeing higher loan balances that produce additional premiums that allow us to stay financially stable as we pay these rising losses.
Do you anticipate seeing those prices and even the claims coming down anytime soon?
We should see that. All experts and those market partners that we have, their projections are in line with one another. They're not disagreeing on what's going to happen. So I think what we're going to see in 2023 is a decrease in the value of used cars. Because there's restricted demand, you're mm-hmm. absolutely going to have a decrease in price. That is going to allow us to have lower loan balances, and that means that we pay less per average loss than we would with those higher loan balances or those higher values of vehicles. However, I do not anticipate that Allied Solutions or anyone in this insurance industry is going to return to any level of pre-pandemic average loss severity. Mm-hmm. If you look at pre-pandemic, we were very consistent in approximately $3,500 per collateral protection insurance claim. Today, we're closer to the $6,000 mark. Will that neutralize, plateau, and possibly decrease with the values of the vehicles decreasing? Absolutely. Will it ever return to a number close to that $3,500? More than likely not.
So just kind of getting used to the new normal.
The new normal, absolutely.
And what are your market predictions going into this back half of 2023?
I think we'll begin to see the actual cash value of the used vehicles continue to soften. We are going to see new car supply. The question is, and I think it's probably the most prominent question, whether those vehicles are going to be affordable for the mainline consumer. Mm-hmm. If interest rates continue to tick up, which I think eventually we're going to see them in 2024 readjust. But if they continue to tick up, that affordability factor is really going to restrict new loans, both in the housing market and the automobile market. I think we will continue to struggle with recovery and collection resources. We didn't need a lot of those resources during the pandemic. Folks had savings at all-time high. There were repossession and collection moratoriums. And folks had to leave the industry that aren't coming back to that industry. So mm-hmm. I think we will continue to struggle with that. So that's where technology and digital engagement and artificial intelligence are going to make a big mark in what needs to be done in that delinquency space. I think in addition to that, we are going to see lending organizations return to force-placed or collateral protection insurance programs out of necessity. Mm-hmm. Because of losses, because of the need to aggregate their repossession and skip volumes, because of the need to have and continue lending deeper into those credit tiers, they are going to need a protection program. So I think getting that architect and developed for what works for you, the lender, is going to be a part of 2023. And then finally, I think what will happen in 2024 will be a year of refinance. I think we will see the interest rates fall. Mm-hmm. And when we do, these very high interest rate loans that we've seen, there's going to be an emphasis on refinance. And when that happens, the products and services that can go along with that refinancing.
Fingers crossed, anyways.
Absolutely.
Anne, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show today. Your wealth of knowledge is truly priceless. Please promise you will come back on the show again soon.
I would be happy to anytime. Thank you so much.
Today, we're putting it into overdrive with Allied Solutions Director Finance Company Markets and Auto Finance Pro, Susie Straffen. Susie, I'm so excited to have you on today.
Thank you so much, Amber. I'm very excited to be here.
So, Susie, can you share with us what's been happening in the auto finance industry now and how did we get here?
So, I'll start a couple years back so we have some perspective on the cause and effect that got us to here, mm-hmm. right? So, that of course starts with COVID. We had global shelter in place orders, we had skyrocketing unemployment, reduced travel, stock market plunge and an OEM shutdown that resulted in a severe vehicle shortage for years to come. Combined with a global chip shortage, the shutdown basically shuttered new vehicle production. Dealer lots were near empty, and this resulted in limited inventory of new vehicles to sell, driving consumers to the used vehicle market, which in turn drove used vehicle prices sky high.
Default rates keep rising and recently went higher than when the pandemic started to ramp up back in February of 2020. Why are we seeing these increases, and what needs to happen to get them back down?
Though I don't have a crystal ball, there are some things that we can see now that are definitely affecting default rates, delinquency rates, repo rates. As we mentioned, inflation, just the cost of goods and how that's impacting consumers. 64% of us are living paycheck to paycheck, which is a kind of a scary statistic.
That's a big number.
Yeah, and a good portion of our economy sits within the subprime and near-prime market. So it's hard. It's hard for those consumers to remain current on their payments. How to get it down? I mean, really, we've got to take a look at what's going to happen with the interest rates and the level of inflation and where all this is going to sit. Employment and wages staying stable will help that situation. But there's just a lot of swirl, I think, that needs to settle down before we can get those rates down and the consumer can feel okay about making those payments again.
So the car buying market has been volatile the last couple of years, making buying anything really difficult and extremely expensive. What are you seeing with new and used car prices, inventory, and even the future of interest rates?
Well, Amber, it's expensive to own a vehicle. The transaction price for a new car is around $48,700. So that's just the cost of the car. The loan amounts are typically about $40,000. Monthly payments are around $780, with about 15% of buyers paying $1,000 or more a month on a vehicle.
Wow.
Interest rates around 6.07% and loan terms of 68 months. So it is pricey, not to mention insurance and all the other maintenance issues that come with owning a vehicle. So that is a pricey proposition. We expect that to continue. The used vehicle values are dropping, although they're still high. But when you start out so high, you know, even when you come down, you're still high relative to where you were.
Yeah.
And an interest rate of about 10.2%, which is nasty. So you're looking at a very pricey proposition for a lot of customers who are having to make decisions on which bills they're paying this month.
So we can't talk about the state of auto finance without talking more about regulations, especially with their increased frequency. Enter the CFPB. What can you tell us about the CFPB's focus the past few years, and how are lenders responding?
As we discussed earlier in the podcast, we had the shift in administration in 2021. And with that shift in administration, some different ideals, some different thoughts about the activity that the CFPB should be looking at, just sort of a re-energized focus on making the consumer whole. We have seen a much more active CFPB in the 2 years previous than we have in, say, the 5 years previous, 6 years. So it's been all about regulation. It's been all about scrutiny on origination, servicing, collection processes. And I think an important thing to note is that it's not just coming from the CFPB. It's kind of all angles. It's the FTC. It's state legislation. It's litigation. It's all things having to do with making sure the customer is not being taken advantage of or discriminated against in any way. So UDAP violations, fair lending, all of that. And I think there's been 20 to 25 pieces of legislation in the past few years on product refund collections, repossession collections. Anything that's putting money back in the hands of the consumer has been very much looked at by the CFPB. So lenders are asking us, what can we do to make sure these processes are in place, that we have compliant tools to handle them, that our customers are being taken care of? And so that, coupled with the staffing restrictions and problems that we talked about before, mm-hmm. a lot of lenders are trying to outsource what they're going to do with these processes because they don't have the staff to do it themselves, or they're just not able to spend the time monitoring and reviewing and constantly staying on top of the legislation that seems to come at them from all fronts.
Keeping up with regulations has been a big challenge for lenders. Can you talk to us a bit about what's next going into the back half of the year?
Right now, there's a big competition for loan share and what the inflation pressure on new loan originations is going to look like. Lenders are going to, I think, continue to fight for share. credit unions are leading that market right now at about 25-26% of auto loans. So it's, I think lenders are going to be thinking about how to get more of that share in a market that may be working against them a little bit. On the compliance side, making sure that those processes are in place to service their consumers, make sure they're getting any refunds that are appropriate for them, as we said, in a timely and efficient manner, and that's going to be worthy of an audit process at the end of the year or whenever they may be approached or if they are approached by anyone on the regulatory front. Having said all that, Amber, I am amazed at the creativity of this industry to forge ahead and create solutions where today there may not be any and use all the resources at their disposal to be that lender that their consumers need them to be.
Susie, one last question before you go, and this might actually be something that could help one of our listeners out there. If you were in the market right now for a vehicle, would you purchase new or used?
I would do everything I could do to keep the current car that I have.
Good answer.
My personal preference is to ride it out.
Stay where you are if you can.
No pun intended. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us today.
Thank you, Amber. I appreciate it.
Today, I'm talking with Jason Sweeney, Allied's Senior Vice President, Real Estate Solutions Group. Jason, thanks so much for making the journey in to talk with us today.
Thank you, Amber.
All right, let's dive in. You have been in the LPI space for 23-ish years now. What has changed the most since your first day on the job?
What's changed the most? That's an intriguing question. I would say that what hasn't changed has me the most perplexed and the most interested in trying to evolve. I think the most glaring aspect of this space is that the GSEs, the CFPB, the OCC, the FDIC, the NCUA, I could go on with every acronym under the sun, requires communication to members or borrowers on their insurance status if it's in question. And that correspondence is done in a very archaic way through first-class mail. We are really at the mercy of the U.S. Postal Service to even make sure that it's been delivered. So what I am really hoping to see is that we start to really embrace the utilization of better communication tactics. The false placement is the most disruptive component to a borrower's venture in owning a home. And if we could minimize that through better communication tactics, that would be fantastic. The second evolution that I have seen occur, when I first started in this space, it was a race to the bottom. Can you get me the cheapest rates and the cheapest service, as far as the tracking goes, possible? How low can you make this priced? And I'm seeing a drastic change from lenders that are starting to realize that you do get what you pay for.
So people are more shifting to kind of that quality over quantity mindset.
Yes, and that is a drastic shift from when I first started.
So mortgage and LPI have been making some pretty big news recently with mergers and acquisitions, massive portfolio transfers, bank failures, et cetera. What kind of effects do you foresee the industry seeing from these impacts?
It's an inevitable conclusion to too long of a period of artificially low rates. Cost of funds has been very low for many years up until now, and then we see a race upwards. So what is the effect of this? You do have certain outliers of balance sheets that were probably not the most, but the bottom line is as cost of funds rise, as all of the aspects of servicing, not just the mortgage portfolio, but all aspects of their portfolio, every asset on balance sheet has become more complex. It's become more highly regulated, and that's costly. We are going to see more M&A activity. It will continue. There's been a lot of independent lenders out there in the industry, many of which are shuttering up. Now, banks and credit unions' cost of funds are lower, but it's still going up for everyone. Mm-hmm. So shifting these assets around, seeing the portfolios either transfer or seeing these lenders actually merge with other entities is a little overdue and is going to be very important that we see the regulatory ease to allow this to occur seamlessly.
I'm sure these large portfolio transfers pose some sort of risk when it comes to handling data. Is there a way for lenders to make sure their data is transferred accurately and in a timely manner to prevent this?
When you're doing any type of asset transfer, The onboarding of those loans is always riddled with issues. The data never transfers the way that you would ideally prefer it to. So there are some lenders out there that have perfected this, but there's many that are, mm-hmm. this is the first time that they've done a transfer or any type of M&A activity. So to come in with the right mindset that perhaps now we should start looking at an outsourced provider is going to become more prevalent. So how can we utilize technology to find this missing insurance data and avoid going straight to a letter cycle? Mm-hmm. Here at Allied, we've really deployed a lot of AWV or automated web verification technology to search for this information, feed it back to the lender, and try to clean up as much as we can. When those calls come in to the credit union or to the banks from the borrowers asking about their insurance status, transfer it to your outsource provider. Mm-hmm. Don't try to do the work for them. There's a reason why you're outsourcing. And it's something that we advocate day in and day out is let my team or your outsource provider, if it's not Allied, do the work.
Right. It's a process. Mm-hmm. Well, if you have a partner, let your partner be your partner.
You got it.
Recently, Allied CEO Pete Hilger touched on how embracing digital tools now and moving forward is so critical. How can providers in the insurance tracking space utilize more technology to improve their processes to help mitigate issues such as false placements mm-hmm. by reaching the customer that typically only responds on their devices?
Yeah, this is why I'm so happy to be part of Allied. We've really embraced this right here. Mm-hmm. So you're going to hear me geek out a little bit on
Go
this
for
one
it.
Here. So we've really deployed automated web verification technology. You're going to hear acronyms such as EDI, Electronic Data Interchange, AWV, Automated Web Verification. We're using APIs. Can't remember what that one stands for. But it's a great communication channel to be able to grab insurance from the ether and all the different channels out there without having to bother the borrowers. It's really important that we leverage this technology to be able to avoid not just lettering, but avoid the false placement. This will also cut down on our cost to track these loans. If we can avoid sending out those letters altogether, we're saving. In fact, all three parties in this equation will save. So trying to utilize different electronic means to stop that chain of events from occurring early on is critical. And what we've deployed here at Allied, I'm very proud of. It's so much more than just relying on first-class mail. We are starting with text messaging to the borrowers. Now, the first thing that comes to anybody in compliance's mind is, well, if I start texting these borrowers, am I going to run into any TCPA issues? Going through the proper compliance, which your provider should be able to do for you, and allowing you to send out a text message to augment those first-class mailings is critical. Beyond that, it shouldn't just be a message to respond to the letter. It should be a self-cure methodology that I can click on my phone. So we're not magicians. Like I said earlier, we do have to do some detective work. So with some basic information provided by the borrower through that text message allows us to get the ball rolling. Now, there's a third component to this. So if I'm a borrower, or if I'm a member, and I receive a communication in the mail, and I'm saying to myself, I have good insurance. This isn't for me. Must be trying to sell me something. Let's throw in the garbage. But a few days later, they get a text message. And then maybe they get a letter too. It's kind of like when you're driving down the road and you see the sign on the side of the road for Dunkin' Donuts. And then you hear the ad on the radio for Dunkin' Donuts. And then you drive and you see the store on the side of the road. And lo and behold, you want coffee. Well, I'm deploying that same psychological approach to this. Mm-hmm. If we can have that reach and repeat marketing, the borrower's going to start saying, okay, maybe I should actually give them a call. That's a long-winded answer to your question, but
that's
hopefully
okay.
It gets the point.
Before we wind down here, can you give me your best psychic reading on where you see the mortgage and LPI industry in 5 years? And how should a company like Allied plan to position itself to handle these changes?
So there's two optics on this. The first is going to be your service expectations. And we've already talked about this already. It's no longer a race to the bottom. It's being very proactive with the borrowers and the members, finding the insurance before we false place, mm-hmm. and doing everything we can to mitigate that. There is a cost to doing that right, but I am going to see positively the entire industry do other mitigating components as well. And the second is the compliance expectations. Now, we're already seeing this now. The regulators are now really laser focused specifically on flood to be able to find out how it was tracked, what's been force placed and when, and was it properly done. I see that stepping up for a multitude of reasons. And now that data is more prevalent and easily obtained, asking for more is probably going to be more of the norm. So what's very important is that the lenders have access to all of their information in real time and not have to be reliant on their provider to be able to grab this information. Something I'm very proud of is that we have very easy abilities for our lenders to be able to log in and see their data themselves. I'm confident that that will be mandatory in the near future, that the regulators may even step in to make transparent information out there. And that may even carry over to the borrower's experience.
Well, Jason, all of that has been wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. Today, I'm sitting down with Jack Imes, Chief Client Lending Consultant at Allied Solutions. Jack, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Amber.
All right, Jack, so let's jump right in, because when you said you originally wanted to talk wonky, I literally LOL'd. What in the world are you talking about?
You know, it's just a great way to get someone's attention, to get your point across. Wonky doesn't necessarily mean bad. It just means there's something unusual going on. And in today's world, because of all these unique things that are going on, it's kind of wonky right now. We've got inflation on the high side, but unemployment on the low side. So it's a little wonky.
What's the wonkiest thing you've seen?
You know, it's interesting, just the rapid acceleration of interest rates. I don't think we've ever seen such a rapid increase where everybody, all the financial institutions, got caught flat-footed. We went from a 3% 30-year fixed rate to pretty darn close to an 8% 30-year fixed rate. Nobody had the time to react to that changing environment. Now we're kind of left picking up the pieces.
So with the economy being so wonky, how are FIs setting themselves up going into 2024?
You know, it's a mixed bag, Amber, partly because they have to be cautious and prudent. You don't want to get too far out over your skis. While at the same time, the financial landscape is just changing so rapidly with technology, literally weekly. There are new fintechs popping up, and that's what the buying public wants. And so there's this changing dynamic of going towards technology, while at the same time, this cautious and prudent, we got to be smart, we got to be careful.
As you mentioned a little bit earlier, we saw interest rates hit some of the biggest highs in decades. This is going to be kind of more of a three-part question for you, but what is this doing to the lending environment? How are FIs responding, and how should they be responding?
Sure. So the whole idea behind these interest rate hikes was to slow down inflation, without putting on the brakes too hard and dropping us into a recession. But for sure, what has happened, these interest rate hikes have put the brakes on the first mortgage market, is folks, they don't want to move. They don't want to leave their current low rates of 2 or 3% for something that's, as I mentioned before, quickly approaching 8%. You know, so coupled with that, we are now seeing credit card balances that are the highest they've ever been in the history of the United States, alone topping $1 trillion. And so since people aren't moving, we're seeing a lot of activity in the second mortgage market as borrowers want to fix up that existing home. I like to quote this article I read several months ago where it's, I love my rate, I hate my house. And because they love these low rates, but they're unhappy with their kitchen or their backyard and they want to do some landscaping. So there's a lot going on in that second mortgage space with existing homes. And so it's a bit wonky, and financial institutions are carefully picking their spots where they can grow. You know, when rates were at historic lows, Amber, it was not unusual for a financial institution to see 10, 15, 20% loan growth every year, in some cases 30% or more. You know, now we're dealing with single digit numbers. You know, I talked with a lot of CEOs and CLOs and CFOs across the country, and they're budgeting for next year, you know, 5% growth. How are they going to get that 5%? You know, that's challenging in the market we're in right now.
So, Jack, there's been a big continuing push for digital optimization amongst FIs over the last couple of years or so. How is technology affecting how FIs are positioning themselves moving forward and in the overall lending landscape?
So if I could, let me set the table for just a minute. So with the high inflation that we have today, everything just costs more, whether it's gasoline or milk or, in this particular case, technology that is so coveted and needed. So financial institutions have to stay current with fintechs, who are very at ease and very much at home with the younger generations. They got it on their phones. It's very easy to get a loan anymore. You can get it in a matter of seconds. And so for financial institutions, the hope is kind of twofold. One, they need the technology to stay current with the fintechs to attract these younger generations that, again, they so covet. And then secondly, the big thing is technology can actually reduce expenses over time and making things quicker, easier for the generations that that they have to attract.
So why such the delay with optimizing?
It's kind of three parts. So cost is certainly a component of that. The second part is the project management process for any financial institution, but for sure for credit unions, is difficult. It takes time to onboard these financial technologies, these products that they need. It's just part of working at a financial institution. It just takes a while to get things integrated. And then the third component of that, Amber, is credit union folks are and should be proud of the fact that they are very cautious. They are very conservative. Nobody does a better job taking care of their members than a credit union. Nobody does a better job taking care of their communities than credit unions. But with that, they're also a little slower to adapt. They're very cautious and take their time.
So one of the biggest stories this year, 2023, was the collapse of several big banks. This not only shook up the industry, but also the trust of consumers. So with the year winding down, what should we expect to see? Do you think we're out of the woods yet?
Unfortunately, Amber, I don't think we're out of the woods quite yet. You know, regardless if a financial institution made a 30-year fixed rate mortgage at 3%, or they bought a United States Treasury bill at 2%, in both cases, that's locked up that liquidity until that has matured or that principal comes back. So that lack of liquidity that we've been talking about is what's driving the market. And with inflation and higher prices, you know, at some point, I think that means people are going to stop buying. They're going to stop borrowing. We haven't seen that quite yet. I don't want that to put the brakes on so much that we're going to a recession. But here's the good news of that scenario, Amber. Credit unions have built what I like to call fortress balance sheets. Really strong capital. Low delinquency and charge-off ratios where they've been that conservative. They've served their members, they've served their communities, but they've kept it inside the rails, if you know what I mean. By and large, credit unions have avoided the riskier lending that has and will continue to keep this economy on that wonky side, specifically in the commercial lending space. So I think we'll see financial institutions to continue to pull back on the reins. They'll look internally to their existing members and customers for growth and do what I call that foundational blocking and tackling for their core growth. Again, it's not going to be 10, 15, 20%, maybe 25% that we've seen in previous years, but it's that sustainable and consistent, repeatable approach to their members and their communities so that we can get through this together, come out on the other side when things won't be quite so wonky.
So do you think we will see that 15, 20% again sometime in the future, or did we all just get lucky for a little bit?
I think we did get a little lucky there for a while that rates were so low. Certainly COVID played a big part of that. And a lot of folks took advantage of that. Love my rate, hate my house. They don't want to move. The problem with that is the housing sector is one of the key components to economic growth in the United States, always has been. Not just building of homes, but buying and selling of homes, fixing up of homes, all the core ancillary products that go with that. And if you dampen that too much with these high rates where you have somebody with a 3% 30-year fix, they want to move, but they can't because of the 8% rate. At some point, that is going to put the brakes on in a serious fashion. I think that's where we're headed. I just want to avoid what they call the R word. I don't want it to drop in a recession. So I'm not sure we're going to see that 15 to 20% growth. But I think, again, that foundational blocking and tackling of 8, 10, 12%, that's pretty good.
So, Jack, before we finish up here, after the last wonky 18 to 24 months, growth has to be the priority next year. What's going to get them there?
You know, it's that commitment to those core values. It's that commitment to sound, prudent, cautious, in some ways conservative underwriting. But with that, we see credit unions do things that other financial institutions won't. So what's going to get them there is what got them to the point we're at today. Credit unions have just a whole other motive. They wake up every morning and want to help their communities, and that's what's going to get them there.
Well, Jack, you have been super insightful today. Thank you for joining us. I have to say, this is the wonkiest conversation I've had so far. Ba-dum-bum.
Well, just remember, wonky doesn't mean bad. Wonky is just a great way to get someone's attention and say, wait a minute, okay, what is wonky? And that's where we're at today. There's some good things going on out there. And so I'm very hopeful that we'll come out on the other end of this together and even stronger than we are today.
Well, please come back and visit us before and after that happens.
Oh, I'd be pleased to, Amber. Thanks so much for having me.
Excellent. Cut out excellent. Don't keep that.
I like purple.
Oh, and I don't like purple. It's my daughter's favorite color, if that counts for anything. I like yellow. It's happy. It's like a nice bright yellow.
And so my thought was, just to kind of help on time, just a smidge, I'm going to cut out all the intro stuff and we'll just cut it later. So even the part...
You can do it.
I just, in case we run into blips, I just want to save us the 5 minutes.
Okay, I'm going to say we're not going to run into blips. You're just that good.
All right, how about I do run through the intro?
Sure.
If I jack it up, we'll save it for later.
Sure.
I'll just start. That's fine. Welcome to the Allied Angle, your auditory complement to Allied Solutions' monthly e-newsletter, Allied Insights. Today, we're getting a non-traditional... Oh, nope. Today, we're talking about the crazy, upside-down, and even wonky world of the financial industry. Next on the Allied Angle.
That sounded like the music from Bluey.
It was. Music. Beep, bop, boop, doop, doop, boop. Coming back? Oh, that works for me.
You got to put that money to work. And next thing you knew, they saw deposits starting to drive their day. I messed that up.
Can we do that question over again?
Yep.
Are we redoing that because I hit my watch on the table?
Do you have plans to mention Hot Money again?
Maybe. I don't know.
It'll come out if
it does. I couldn't repeat what I just said if I tried.
Or they could take short-term loans through the federal home loan, through the Federal Home Loan Bank. Oh, I'm sorry. All right, can we cut that and try it over?
Yeah.
You do what you want to do.
You do you, boo.
That's what my wife says to me. You do you, boo.
Oh, I got the Saturday all to myself?
I just love that we have that as a sound clip now. So, Mark, the topic of digital transformations also seemed to turn a lot of heads in 2022 when it came to our articles. Mm-hmm. So whether it be...
So it really is going to vary based on the environment that particular financial institution is in. Let me just cut that for a minute. This is harder than I thought.
So before we wrap things up, Mark, can you give us your predictions of what you think will... Nope. Mm-mm. Didn't like it.
It sounded good.
All right. Well, so I just messed it up myself. No, I need to do it again. I'm not projecting loud enough. Welcome to the Allied Angle, your auditory complement to Allied Solutions e-newsletter, Allied Solutions. Nope. With the economy being so wonky, how are financial institutions positioning themselves? Yep.
Positioning.
How about you know what? Because I'm going to think about it too much. How are financial institutions setting themselves up? With the economy being so wonky, how are financial institutions... Too many letters.
Too many big words with multiple syllables.
He's going to grab a screenshot of you for promotional purposes. So actually probably having the mic in there and the lovely trees in the background, actually. It'll make it
look
good.
Keep my eyes open. I'm a squinter.
Oh. Project your voice like I'm in the room.
Okay.
But you're talking like you're talking on your phone.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I can just hear him going, wonk, 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 wonk.
That's kind of what it sounds like. Yep, I'm going to re-question, and then if you wouldn't mind.
I kind of went blah, blah, blah.
We both did. It was me, too.
God, he's such a tough director. You know, next time I'm going to ask for a different director. He's so hard. He's so difficult.
Nice. That was a good one, I think.
What did Martin Scorsese think?
He's over here taking selfies. Congratulations. That was our very first podcast with our very first guest. We really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. Thank you.
Thanks again, Amber. Happy to be here.
Thanks. I was giving it some lead time there. So. Yeah.
Okay, well, that was a good first crack at it.
Look, we're doing something. That was even more than like the pre-scheduled follow-up like commentary I already had in there.
Yeah. Are we getting better at this?
Oh my gosh, I think we are.